The following segment is a paid commercial program by Christensen CPAs and Consultants. It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 and 96.3 FM, KWLM.
Well, if one expert is good, two have to be twice as good, right?
Twice as good, Bill. How you doing?
Good, Joel. Good to see you again. And I know you had an able-bodied replacement the last time you couldn't be with us.
Yes. So. Yeah, my partner Bradley Peterson stepped in. And thank you both for kind of covering for me there when I was kind of busy.
Planting corn.
I was planting corn that day, so I really appreciate that. And I haven't had a chance to listen, but I heard it was a really good show.
Yeah, he really does a terrific job. You're lucky to have a man of his quality with the firm.
Well, great. Yeah, and then today I've got another partner, yes. Teresa Carlson, here today who's going to talk about some of the recent laws that our very aggressive legislature right. here in Minnesota has I shouldn't say aggressive. They got a lot done, a lot of things on their agenda. I'm not going to get political, but they had a lot of progressive things that they did this year. And there's a couple that are going to be impacting businesses probably the most, and they're going to create some complexities. And Teresa Carlson and her team have taken on the task of being our experts. And I know this law is still being kind of written, right, Teresa?
That is correct. So there's no, frequently asked questions. There isn't a lot of that. And they say it's coming or, more detail is coming. So this is a very high level of these different acts that they were passed.
And what is the soonest that they, this could take a little while to implement. Is it going to be before the end of the year, though, do you think, on some of these things?
Actually, the Sick and Safe Act, I know that's... No, that's what I've been calling it just because it's easier because there's lots of words with all these. The Sick and Safe Act actually is effective on 1/1/24. So we do have to get a lot of that stuff in place, here in the last half of the year so that everything is ready to go come the first of the year. And
Is that we're going to be like an automatic withholding then is on that one?
That's the second one, which got passed just recently. The if I correct me if I'm wrong, Teresa, the Sick and Safe one was passed relatively early in session.
Correct.
Kind of version one of the things they wanted to accomplish. And they kind of, they're two separate. They have two different ways of being funded, two different requirements. So it adds a level of complexity for sure.
Right. And the Sick and Safe is going to affect all employers, and it's for actually temporary and part-time employees, and it's probably similar to a paid time off policy. So employers who already have that in place, who meet the qualifications of this new Sick and Safe Act, don't have to do additional PTO or paid time off. But they do, for the ones that are, I think of like my construction clients and so forth, a lot of them don't have a, paid time off policy. They're going to have to implement one by 1/1/24.
Mm-hmm. What about some of the seasonal, jobs? And is that where that's going to come into play? Maybe more
Great
so?
Great question.
Yeah. Yep. And that is correct. So it's going to hit that temporary employee, the seasonal employees as well. So that it's very far reaching. Mm-hmm. And it's, if you've worked 80 hours for an employer in Minnesota, you are going to be eligible for this, and you earn 1 hour of PTO for every 30 hours you work.
Mm-hmm. So is that kind of standard with employers now that have paid time off? Is that kind of is it 1 hour for 30 or 40 normally?
Well, if I could be, and that's a great segue because as an employer myself, ourselves, for people who only work 80 hours, they receive no benefits in my firm at this moment, right? 80 hours in a year is
far less
part-time, right? Yeah. So that's the big kicker, if you will, where it affects everybody. Because we do have, and I keep saying I'm sorry, Teresa.
It's okay.
We as partners have, we feel a very good benefits package, but you have to work, is it 32 hours on the average, I think, is per week, where that comes into play. Well, this is far less than that.
Oh, yeah.
Example, we always have interns at various times during the year. We have three on staff right now for the summer. Well, they're going to work more than 80 hours. So in theory, I need to start, not this year, I'm sorry. So it'd be next year, January 1st of 24. So my interns for the 24 season, 24 calendar year, are going to earn this 1 hour per 30 kind of calculation. And in our firm, we don't have a ratio like that about hours worked. It's just kind of established at certain levels and years of service. And we kind of bring all of our sick time, vacation time into what we call paid time off in one bank. Bereavement is in addition to that, right, Teresa?
That is correct, yep.
So, there's a lot of different things, but Teresa's right. If you already have paid benefits already like this aligned, you're fine, except they apply to basically everybody you hire. So, I mean, it's a pretty unique deal, and it's I use the word aggressive because that's just makes the record keeping and trying to keep track of all this, and it can make it more expensive. So I have these interns, and they've earned, let's say, a day or 2 days by the time the end of their internship. In theory, they could call in sick the last 2 days, and I got to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a unique deal when it comes to the quote seasonal, the temporary, the part time that doesn't meet the normal standards. So this bill is very far reaching, and it affects everybody. Teresa mentioned the construction people that have seasonal people. My son Jacob is erecting bins for Grain Solutions today. He's going to earn this too next year if he's working for them. So it's a really far reaching deal.
Right, and there is a max, so it's up to 48 hours, but that 48 hours can roll over from year to year.
Okay.
And an employer has the option to cap it at 80 hours. So, but they do have that ability to roll over from year to year. So, I mean, they could get more than 48 hours if they're...
Wow. That's a piece I did not know. My eyeballs bounced big there for a second. So just to make sure I'm understanding it right, max in a year is 48, but if I use none as an employee, it rolls to next year.
Correct.
And it keeps adding up to a potential cap of 80, or the employer can let it roll forever?
The employer could let it roll forever. I anticipate most employers are going to cap it at 80.
Which is mandated, right? That's the mandate?
Yes, the mandate is that you can't go any lower than that. You have to allow it to accumulate to 80 hours.
I see.
That's so 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of time.
At that point, then, say the person still hasn't been sick or hasn't requested any time off, can they opt to take a cash option then?
They cannot. No, great question.
Yeah, no, excellent question. I was just going to go there. God, Bill, you're on fire today. Good job.
Here I thought I was half asleep.
Man, you're on top of it today. That's awesome.
Nope, you're not required as an employer to have to pay it out upon termination. But if someone were to transfer to a different department, or a different from Minnesota to, from this location to a different location of the same company, it has to basically follow you or a different division.
What do you think was the real gist behind that? I mean, what's the momentum why they went and enacted this, do you think?
Are you asking me to get political now, Bill?
Is there a certain group that's really was really pushing for this, do you think?
Or? I'm going to be very careful on how I respond to this. I believe it was legislators felt that there was a group of people who were working in a seasonal or temporary means who are not getting these benefits and didn't feel like they could take time off when they were sick. So okay. I must work because I'm temporary and I don't have any benefits. So when I'm sick, I don't have any choice of either going without pay or I go to work and make everybody sick.
Yeah.
So post-COVID, I think there might be some of that in there. And I see Teresa's nodding her head. I know listeners can't hear that because she doesn't have any marbles like I do that bounce around. But what's your take, I guess, Teresa? I should probably let you speak to that.
I anticipate it's coming from COVID. I think both of these acts came out of COVID because there is that subset of employees that when a family member got sick or when they got sick, they didn't have PTO to take. So they were going unpaid and then unfortunately probably going to work to still get paid and then, of course, getting sick,
right,
potentially spreading it to other people. Because one of the other pieces of the safe and sick is that they, a school closure because of weather, they can use it for that as well. So it's not just medical, but it's for the employee and the family member. And that's the interesting piece of the sick and safe, that who qualifies as family is very extensive, to the point that one of the line items says one person that the employee designates each year.
I see.
So it's not, it doesn't even have to be family or blood.
Right.
I want to make sure when you say person, we're not talking about the family pet, are we?
It says person.
Okay, anyway, I want to get too far out there, but I know there's been a lot of pet benefits being talked about in the world of, I got to take care of my dog, hospital, surgeries. I mean, the money that's spent on our animals now is amazing. I love my dog.
And
but
we have support animals who probably should almost qualify.
Well, I wonder,
what you think of,
I don't know, pretty loose legislation, right?
Correct.
So, I mean, it's pretty broad.
But I know it can be challenging when, say, school is suddenly called off. And then you don't have a plan, where to work. Who's going to watch over your young children at that point, mm-hmm. And, I think most employers are understanding, hopefully, and in those
in Minnesota for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean they realize it could be a serious thing. And of course, way back, I'm so old, we used to have these snow houses in town that you would pre-designate, you know, in case buses couldn't take you home.
I remember that.
Where
too.
Can you go? And then it would be predetermined that you had somebody would, you know, that lived in town where they figured you'd certainly be able to walk over there if nothing else.
But in those days, it would take a blizzard of a scale of 10 to close school, right?
It's
so that
sure.
I get now.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we're trying to be safer, so which is great for our kids on the road. But this is crazy, not crazy. Kind of changes paradigm, does a lot of things. So
it's far reaching, and it's all on the cost of the employer because it's a paid time off policy. So you are paying them at their same wage rate of pay.
Right. So you have to, it's paid time off. So you have to pay it. And then if you need someone to replace them, you have to hire them too.
Right.
So that you're exactly right, Teresa. It's all on the employer on this particular act. So this is just the little one, the easy one.
I was like, this is the easy one.
Oh, I was thinking this was the hard one.
We haven't touched on the big dog yet, which just got passed. How much time we got, Bill?
Well,
5 minutes?
Probably, we got at least that, but we might need longer. But
Well, no, we can always come back.
Yeah.
Right? You would invite us back, right, if we get more information on it. But maybe you want to talk about
that's
the next
our
one.
Minnesota paid family and medical leave. That, you know, got a lot of coverage in the news all throughout the session, really.
It really did.
It did. And it's the same thing. Every employer is affected. So if you are a sole proprietor, so, you're the only owner, but you are employing people, this is going to affect you. As soon as you have one employee, you have to comply with this. And it creates a new, I don't want to call it a tax per se, but it's similar to unemployment. So there is going to be 0.7% of your taxable wage is the fee, or how they're accumulating this.
The funding source.
Thank you. And the employer can choose to be the sole person who puts money into that, or you can do it 50-50.
Mm-hmm. It's the choice of the employer.
It's the choice of the employer.
Okay, just like our FICA, right? Social Security, I pay half, the employee pays half, right? That's mandated, required. You're saying I have the option?
Yeah, you could.
Really?
You could pay all.
So you could pay all. You could pay the state unemployment. The employer pays the full
100%.
100%.
No choice in that one.
Or it could be like the FICA where we pay half as an employee and then the employer will pay the other half.
I'm kind of chuckling because you're going to be the bad guy or the good guy in this one, right? As an employer, I don't know. I didn't realize it was an option. I thought it was a 50-50 just like everything else.
Oh, but it says the employer can choose to.
Awesome. Sorry. So, that was the silence of Joel thinking.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody out there listening.
And for that one, you qualify once you have $3,500 in wages for that employer.
So if I'm working for you, Bill, you're self-employed, and as soon as I trip over $3,500, which might take 2 months or a month, you know, depending on what I'm doing for you, it's automatic and you're in, or I'm in, if you will. Then you got this requirement. Then you have to make that decision on withholding some from me as your employee, or you pay 100%. You have to remit it through the Minnesota Revenue Portal. Keep track of it. A new payroll tax form, I'm assuming. Now, this is January 1, 2026.
Correct.
Yeah.
We have more time on this one to get this figured out. But it is a cost that an employer could bear himself, herself, but you could split it up to 50-50 is what you're saying.
Correct.
And it sounded like it'll take a while to get a big enough pool of money, right, before they can really, truly enact this?
Which is why they did allocate money from this budget cycle or this next 2 years to put the seed money in. Mm-hmm. And then once we start, that's their hope, is that it's going to work. Because when I have this time and I have these, and Teresa will probably get into that real quick, the state pays you, not me.
I see.
Which is different than the other one. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind and how this couples with what, if you already have a paid benefit program, you know, those are still questions I think we're still trying to figure out, right?
Right. This is the one that's got the least amount of information available at this point that they're still trying to develop. The best way I can explain it to an employer to understand what this means to them is the fact it's going to be very similar to unemployment because you are going to have to pay this in. But as Joel said, the state is the one that's going to pay you. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be reporting that starts prior to 1/1/26, so they can start getting, probably doing some calculations of what's there. But this has got a lot of leave to it as well. And so this is completely separate from the FMLA from a federal perspective. This is the state perspective. And you can have up to 12 weeks of, a medical leave for a single qualifying event. And at this point, they don't have it listed what these qualifying events are. But you can have up to 20 weeks if you have more than one qualifying event.
So if you are... Your wife is pregnant, mm-hmm. has a baby, and everything is great. That's one event. Then you get, have an accident or hurt yourself when you're changing diapers, whatever. And that's a second event. I need to, and I'm required to give you 20 weeks opportunity and still have your job, right, when you get back.
Correct.
20 weeks is almost half the year.
Yeah. Now, so that is on top of the 12? Say you've already used the 12?
A minimum 12 per event.
Okay.
And the most it can be is combined on all events,
right.
20.
Yeah.
So, that's a lot. And how it coordinates with what we already have is another question. Mm-hmm. But it is paid by the state in theory, but I fund it.
Right.
And or the employee partially funds it potentially as well. So it's a lot of time. And I know a lot, that's time that's well spent, going back to, having your babies. And
right.
That's good stuff. And none of us as employers obviously want you to miss that time. But that's a lot of time. So I have to fill that chair with somebody because I don't have that much capacity at the firm, right? So I go on leave. Someone's got to do my job. So it's going to impact somebody, or I have to hire somebody. So I have a cost on top of the 0.7%.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure that the employee who is on leave has a job to come back to when their leave is up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, is this going to be very strict? Like, say if somebody does, has this baby, yet they can maybe work part-time for you while they're doing this because there's so much remote work going on.
If they want to, they could, but they could take fractions of this time over that, so they can do both.
Okay.
They would get paid by the state and by me, mm-hmm. in theory, for
correct.
That part-time work,
yeah.
I believe. And again, it's a pretty new bill, so again, you're on fire today. That was a great question that we don't have an answer to, but that's a very possible thing.
Yeah, because hopefully, it's not an adversarial situation where the employer and the employee, but,
usually it's not.
There's always going to be people that will take advantage of any situation, though. We know that, right?
But when humans are involved, right, things are going to be taken advantage of, right?
No matter how it seems that way. So
they push the limit.
Is a doctor slip required on this one?
The employer.
Well, you're laughing at me, but
the employer gets to choose the type of documentation, is what they currently are saying. I anticipate that's going to get narrowed down once they get into the details of this, because they're going to realize that employers might be making it too restrictive for people to take.
As an employer, am I limited in asking what's going on? Can I ask?
You cannot ask.
I cannot ask.
It follows the same FMLA federal rules.
Yeah, right.
And they said, too, that like Duluth and St. Paul, and there's a couple other cities within Minnesota who already have something like this in place for the city, mm-hmm. and that this isn't replacing that. It's just you always have to go with what protects the employee the most.
Yeah. And I imagine there are a lot of jobs that are, city government jobs. I mean, they probably have more. It depends. I mean, I'm sure
these aren't just city jobs. You're saying if you work inside the city limits, right?
Right. So Duluth has one. If you work within the city limits, there is this policy.
It's a city mandated tax or tax act or whatever that they did. If you work inside the city limits. Yeah, not just for the government.
Yeah, I was thinking that the employees of the city, but
it's far reaching.
But it's one of those things, once again, it creates more reporting for the employer. Now we're tracking, if I don't have a PTO policy, now I have to track that because I have to be able to show the employee on their pay stub, how many hours they've accrued, how many hours they've used. So I have to do that tracking. Now I have to track this as well and show, that what their taxable wages are and do all the reporting on a quarterly basis. So it's just adding more complexity to the payrolls for our employers.
And already complex and scary for a lot of people. And Teresa's team does a lot of payroll processing to take that off mind. So we handle it for them so they don't miss that payroll tax deposit, miss that payroll tax reporting. So, this is going to add another level of things you have to keep track of as an employer. And we're here to help. Teresa's team is fantastic at doing this, and they're one of the most organized teams we have in our firm, because they have to be. Think about all the rules they have to follow, so we appreciate everything that Teresa and her team does. But we just wanted to come on the radio today to try to just scratch the surface on it, get people ready to get themselves ready. Now, this one, they've got 2 years, 2.5 years to get figured out. The other one is only a half a year, you know, but so we got time.
Yeah. Well, it is, like you say, it's a big change. And I don't know, are these things set in stone, or can the next session, you know, alter things? What would happen, do you think? I mean, as far as...
That's a great question. Anything can be undone, right, mm-hmm. in a legislative sweep. But once benefits are given, boy, it'd be really tough to take it away, whether or not it's even started yet. But
yeah.
It's possible, I think, but it'd be unlikely probably.
Yeah, but there will be definitely more reporting and more forms and bigger things to keep track of anyways.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And from an HR perspective too, I mean, to make sure this is all documented and in their files and that you're complying with everything, I mean, there's just a lot of extra things to this to potentially employers who've never had to deal with it before. Okay, I have one or two employees, so, you know, yes, they're handling the payroll, or we can take care of that as well. But it just adds a whole another layer to them, where maybe they're not going to hire people at that point because it's just more cost that they can't incur.
Right. Well, we have exhausted our time now. So anything else, Joel, that you want to add here, and how we can reach the firm or whatever?
I know we can always reach the firm at thechristiansencpa.com on our website. I don't know if we have anything updated yet on this yet on the website.
We do not. We've been working on it.
Getting that ready to go. But Teresa's team, you can reach Teresa, on the website or giving, you want to, she's based out of Litchfield, actually. Mm-hmm. And the last time I was on the radio, I blew the number. So what is the number in Litchfield?
320-373-1040.
Okay.
I knew the 1040 part. So.
Yeah, but that 373 would have thrown me,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, for sure. So. Nope, very good.
I mean, you can call the main number, too, in Wilmer at 320-235-5937, and they can get a hold of me that way, too. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for coming in, both of you. Enjoy. I'm glad we got some rain and enjoy.
So am I. How much did you get?
Well, we got about 2/3 of an inch here.
Yeah, so. We had 8/10 in that water. So, yeah, we were blessed.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you both.
Right, thank you very much.
Have a great day. Joel, thank you.